Blog Talk Radio.
My nigga is you, just like me. Shit, I'm doing a bit too, as you were. Before you got locked up, they just switched you to the other side of the bars, but same shit, dude. Life's obstacles, it's like a cell in itself. I know you feel me, the story, you could tell it yourself. Brought in a life trap, fuck, placed on this earth. Incarcerated, hurt, a slave to this work that set you free, but wait, they keep us bound with this minimum wage shit. We fight with pride like those principles pay shit. It's true though, refuse those ways on how to move, so we hit the streets searching for freedom in form of loopholes. Cheat the system, every re-up given, we out pitching, trying to break out of those chains that we were given. Cop cars and cameras mounted in every area until they relocate your cell. It ain't fair to us, freedom.
I figured we start off with a little Frank Graham show, Miller Time Radio. People, welcome to Miller Time Radio. I appreciate you hitting the link. I got my phone's blowing up. I don't know why right now. But welcome to today's show. I appreciate you guys locking and tuning. You know, obviously we got a big show today. You know, we definitely want to touch on some issues in our community, you know, that affect people and bother people. First of all, I'd like to start off the show, you know, for people, I see I got my lines are blowing up right now, the people want to get in and join the conversation. If you just hit one, when you call in and you hit one, you let the operator know you want to chime in live with me, I can see it on my other end right now, all right? Just letting you guys know. Malik, I see you on the other line right now, but you got to hit one because I don't see you live with me right now. We got so many people who want to join this conversation. Today, I'm going to start off by starting off. I've been in this community over 20 years. I've been in this community. I've raised kids in this community. And this community is a very diverse community, you know. But all walks of life in this community, you know. So when you see things, when I see things out there, you know, such, you know, hatred and bigotry, you know, maybe it's just the times we live in. You know, it's been so polarized over the last 8 years as far as, you know, the race issue, you know, most people would say. Most people would say, you know, it's gotten worse since Barack Obama's been president. You know, you can say that. You can say that, you know. There's some people who say it's gotten worse. Seriously, it's gotten worse. But, you know, I definitely want to point out, you know, this is why we're going to have an open mic today on Miller Time Radio. You know, I just want to start off by reading, you know, I received this post. We got business owners, you know, in this community who obviously feel this way. I'm going to start off, I'm not going to put this guy's name out here, but just the level of hate and disgust for it, just a simple class of people. And I'm starting off by reading. I'm so sick of these people, yes, blacks in quotation, thinking they're entitled to everything. Not all blacks are bad. I'd rather say through my life experience about roughly 7% are outstanding, hardworking people. Wow, 7%. Wow, I wonder where he got that calculation from. Huh? 7%. And it goes on, right? It gets better. Well, you know, usually when people start off with, don't think I'm a racist, usually it comes off pretty racist. So don't say I'm racist. It's based off observation. It's based off observation. You know, and definitely, we're going to go back to this guy. You know, this is a business owner in this community, you know, who apparently feels this way about a class of people, you know, they're loafing off the government, you know. It's amazing, you know. And like, this is a quote from Martin Luther King or Malcolm X. You know, I'm not going to go there. We're not going to go bash no windows. We're not going to be out there to pick the lines. You know how we can hurt some people? We don't patronize those types of people, you know. And it's ridiculous you know, and it's really hateful. You know, it's one thing. We can't legislate, you know, idiocy, just stupidity. We can't legislate it. This is why this is America. You know, you're allowed to voice your opinion, even though it's stupid as hell and you're misinformed, you know. But we're going to bring some people on the Miller Time Radio right now. You know, our phone lines are blowing up. You know, this is a very touchy subject. A lot of people don't like to touch as far as relations in our community. We're going to bring on our first one, Malik Champlain, on Miller Time Radio. Malik, welcome to Miller Time Radio, my friend.
Hey, what's going on, Lenny? How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right. I do have to say, man, I'm just I had a lot of emotions going through me. You know, once I read that, you know, this is a business owner in this community. You know, I've been in this community 20 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this community. And I'm a taxpayer. I've raised kids in this community. And what I read from a business owner who people go and patronize this guy, I had to ask my girl when she got home from work. I said, baby, did you go? Because she likes to do CrossFit, too. So I said, yo, did you go over there and give them my money? She says, no, baby, I didn't go over there. I was just so upset that people still feel like this and have these just ignorant thoughts about a class of people. And it's 2015. It's unbelievable.
Well, Leonard, I think, you know, as I read the same thing, I think, you know, we start looking at the difference between someone's reputation and character and integrity. You get what I'm saying? You know, mm-hmm. when you go out and you first start a business, you see what I'm saying? You're trying to, money's green. You get what I'm saying? So you're going to have this mm-hmm. reputation, because reputation is what people think you are. You know what I mean? But when push comes mm-hmm. to shove, and that's what's been so great, I feel like, about, you know, the conversations, or even the fact that people are expressing opinions about race, is that people are now showing their true characters. Especially on mm. social media outlets like Facebook, because now you get to get into the minds of people where before, you know, you might be sending, you know, you might be spending your money and helping someone, you know, that you think is supporting you or that you think has a similar view set. But now, you know what I mean, you get to see their true character and the integrity that they have as a person. I think with President Obama, with Ferguson, with the things that have gone on, people have been, the Mike Brown case, Eric Garner, people have been forced to actually deal with it, right? Like a lot of times you hear it before, mm. well, I'm sick of talking about it, right? I'm colorblind. Well, all those things, right, allow you to stop talking about it, but it doesn't allow us to solve anything. It allows things to resonate and to linger, but it doesn't allow anything to be solved, right? So this young man obviously is, you know, he has his points of view and he can have those, you know what I mean? But people who don't have those points of view should obviously spend their money elsewhere.
And listen, Malik, I want to bring another caller. You stay with me, Malik, because I still want to pick your brain about it. I got some great questions for you. Is this Marcy? We got Marcy on the line.
I'm here.
Time Radio.
What's going on?
Now, you heard. Hey, welcome to Miller Time Radio. I'm glad you called in to chime in a little bit. Now, I wanted you to add on to what Malik was saying because, you know, Melissa Harris-Perry, one of my favorite, you know, news commentators that I love to watch on MSNBC, she talked about a couple of weeks ago just as far as Americans feeling black pain. You know what I'm saying? It's hard, you know what I'm saying, just to sympathize with the struggle of just being black, you know what I'm saying?
I must say that I don't even understand the concept of black pain. You know, there's a lot of emotions that I feel about this post in general. And I mean, this is probably going to create a lot of controversy, hate mail, and all of the above.
Hey, this is
another
time radio.
Part of me agrees with what this man's saying in a sense of black people constantly saying that they are victimized by things. Now, don't get me wrong, because black people, we are victimized. And for those of you who don't know me, I am a black woman living in this community. But I do feel as though there are a lot of black people who capitalize on what happened in Ferguson You know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot of stipulations that we add to and that we kind of say, it's almost like you're signing a permission slip for people to feel this way. Now, whether or not you voice it or not, well, that's pure ignorance. You know what I mean? It's the way that you say what you mean. Now, I feel as though this gentleman, what he said, he means every word of it. He absolutely does.
Let me go back to his post real quick, Marcella. Now, talking about Mike Brown, now they will do anything to try to capitalize on this scum fuck's worthless life. Blacks think they're entitled to everything.
I am completely floored by that. Completely floored by that. Because who is anybody to say that this man's life is worthless, that it has no worth? Mm. It has no worth. How do you put a price on a life, let alone a black life? There's no price tag on that. There's no price tag on that. Mm. I believe that a lot of black people can now sit here and say, oh, well, you see, this is what happened. Now, there are a lot of different opinions and not necessarily fact-based opinions on what happened in Missouri. Now, me personally, I cried, like physically cried watching the news, watching CNN, watching MSNBC, watching WTNH, watching Channel 3 News, and all the live media coverage that was going on down there. Because when all of this was occurring, you have a violent act that was committed, okay? That's the basis of it all. There was a violent act that was committed, yes, against a black life, okay? I would have felt the same way if it was a white life, if it was a Spanish life, if it was an Indian life. I don't care. This was a violent act that was committed. What broke my heart more was the reactions and the way that the black community handled that. Outrage does not have to be put forth and showed in a violent manner.
Absolutely, and I understand what you're saying, Malik, and I wanted to come back to you because, you know, even, you know, we got a different opinion. Obviously, you know, she may have agreed with some of what this gentleman said, maybe not the, you know, how mean and malicious it was in some of his comments and how he felt about, you know, blacks, you know. But just I was telling her about just the sympathy. You know, we forget about, you know, this the systematic, people forget about the system and how it's designed, you know, to maybe not give other people, you know, opportunities as maybe other people. Malik? Hey, Malik, you're on with Millicom, Malik.
Oh, can you hear me? My fault. Hello?
Yeah, it's all good. You back with me?
I heard you. I was saying that I know Marcy on a personal level, and I believe everything that she's saying is definitely what she believes in and is definitely who she is and what she stands for. You know what I mean? But coming from my standpoint of the way that things have been going in America, how do you put it? That people have been trying to take. I've been seeing it from all sides, but I see the posts that we see from people that we think we know, but like I said, you really have no idea, right? Because people are saying that this is who I am and their reputation, but it's a mask, right? You're playing a role, but then all of a sudden you get online and everybody got this opinion, but when you talk face to face, right, it's something different. You know what I mean? For the most part. You get what I'm saying? But the idea is that we're getting a lot of honesty and truth, but we need to have more conversation. You know what I mean? About what's going on. But from my standpoint, my observation is that when that conversation is to come, right, the minute that someone gets passionate, the minute that someone brings up the idea of what's really going on, it becomes, oh, well, let's talk about numbers. Well, if we're talking about numbers and we're talking about jobs and we're talking about Norwich, we shouldn't do black and white because it's not going to look bad for black people. You know what I mean? Because we're just talking about numbers, right? But we shouldn't do that. Hate doesn't conquer hate, right? Only love does. Darkness doesn't conquer darkness, right? Only light does. So the idea is that someone has to be bigger and stop trying to compare and just start trying to solve the problem. You know what I mean? Like right now, this whole idea that we're even talking about this dude, like that's foolery. I'm past that. The idea right now is really, you know, you know, when people are rioting, rioting is the voice of the unheard. You start by talking. You start by protesting. You start by doing different things. But the idea is that in that city, you become the idea is that when you're sitting there and your whole city, 90% black, becomes martial law, right? When the idea is that you're rolling tanks through the streets, people need to be concerned and need to be conversations about it, not just, oh, well, that's just, you know, black people acting up. They're rioting for no reason. There's a reason. Now, the idea is that going to cause change? No, we need to be more proactive. Is there other ways that you can go about it? Definitely. But the idea is to stand around and do nothing, to type on your iPhone and think that that's something, to sit back and just watch and then be a backseat quarterback and act like you're doing something. Now, the reason why I could talk was that I'm the one in Washington Square in New York marching for Eric Garner. I'm the one out here teaching these young brothers not to kill themselves, to be out here, to be social activists, to sit around here and to talk to law enforcement. I'm the one who calls officers like Officer McKinney, who calls officers down and tell them, talk to them about how you need to be, how they need to approach you when you stop the car, right? That's the reason why I can sit here and say something. But until you are sitting there trying to do something about the problem, stop talking about something that you're not willing to put the action forward into. You get what I'm saying? Or you're just going to complain, right, and be like the other majority of everybody else, sitting around, backseat driving, talking about what you could have done, how people should be acting differently instead of doing something to create a solution to the problem.
Solutions. And this is what this is the whole purpose of this show. You know, it's not just to just kind of just beat up this guy. It's just kind of just to bring into a conversation about how can we eradicate this stuff? Because obviously this stuff, this stuff is taught, you know, and we don't want the next generation just watching this whole presidency of just hate and no and demigod and the other guy. It's just. It's permeated through everybody, it seems like. Everybody's on edge right now. But we're going to bring another call on the Miller Time Radio. Your last four digits of your number. Malik, hang tight with me, brother. 4112. You on Miller Time Radio?
Peace. It's me, man. It's Jelani.
Hey.
I apologize for the delay.
Welcome to Miller Time. Well, welcome to the show today, brother. Obviously, you know, we're talking just about just race relations in our community and how it affects others, you know, and we had Marcia and we had Malik just talk about how it affects people in the community.
Well, race is very important, one, first of all, because it's an issue that's never – this is the one issue that the United States of America – is behind on, well, it's not the only one, but it's the main one that the United States is the one is way behind on. We never talked about it. We just act like it never happened. Mm-hmm. Two, in this community here, in Norwich, Connecticut, we have a rising group of immigrants. We have, and we still are way behind. So, I mean, honestly, when this came up, when we talked about this earlier, I'm not surprised at all. Why would I be? Why would anybody who deals with everyday life be surprised? What I am happy about, and most people may look at me a little funny when I say this, but I'm happy he said it. Thank you. Thank you very much for exposing to me what I needed to know. We need to know what bigotry is. We need to talk about bigotry and racism and hatred so that way people can speak their true feelings. So you know what? This is an opportunity to educate. Okay, we could, throw bricks through his window and taunt him and his kids and say your dad's a racist and have the kids. No. This is a beautiful opportunity right here. One, Martin Luther King Jr. I know his attorney. I didn't meet him, no. I met his attorney, the one who orchestrated the Memphis boycotts. What was the first thing we learned to do in the civil rights movement? You don't like me, fine. I'll spend my dollars elsewhere. So the first thing you want to do is if you really want to hurt him or anyone like him, touch them pockets. Touch those pockets. How? By not spending your money with anyone like him or with him. Now, it's going to be kind of difficult to navigate the waters of ignorance because you don't know who's racist, who's not, and you might misinterpret. But the point is, the first thing you learn is touch them pockets, boycott them. Don't go there. There's plenty of other gyms. There's plenty of other gyms. And there's plenty of other hymns. There's plenty of other people like him. But you know what? I respect the South and the North for these differences. Down South, they'll tell you, don't come here after 6 o'clock. They don't want your money. They don't want you here. But up North, they don't tell you anything. They let you pretend and they smile in your face. And, you know, but this guy, this is the blessing of social media. Some people just can't help themselves. They're gonna talk. So I'm glad he did. I'm so glad he did. That gives us an opportunity to use him as the impetus towards clearing out people like him, or at least making people like him scared to talk that way, or at least, again, like I said in the very beginning, to educate him, and by educating him, we're educating others like him. They'll learn from his example.
He is not the only one that feels like that. Could you imagine a police officer with that same point of view? Can you imagine a judge or a lawyer or a city council? You know, there's people who feel this way, and it's scary because they're in a position to affect other people's lives, you know?
I'm going
to
give you an
example. Jelani, we're going to bring you back. Listen, hold that thought. I'm going to bring you back in. I want to bring Marcy back on. Marcy, welcome back to Milltown Radio. Listen, we going in right now.
I'm sitting here and I am stewing right now. And you know what? I couldn't agree more with what Jelani and Malik both just said. You know what I mean? And it really is all about educating the people and educating the youth. Now, like Malik, I do know, like he said, on a very personal level, just been a good friend for years, and I have so much respect for this man and the way that he goes about his educating of the people and the youth as to, you know, how we can make these situations better. Everybody can moan, groan, and complain about racism, this, that, and the third, but if you're not doing anything to change that, then to me, your voice should not be heard. For those of you who know me, I work with kids. I work with teenagers that are on parole who have done, just horrific things and have been through horrific things. And so a lot of these girls that I work with are Black, Puerto Rican, and I think I have maybe 2 white girls in my program at the time being right now. But in one way or the other, they've all experienced the same kind of racism where, you know, okay, I come from poor, I come from nothing, and people tell me that I am nothing all the time. And it's about educating them to say, look, this is where you were, this is where you've been, this is where you can be, this is where you can go. It's all about choices and decisions. So, you know, like these two gentlemen have said, you know, people can go out, you can be violent, you can break things, you can do this, that, and the third, but your message is not being conveyed in the right way. You want equality and you want justice. You want to be considered a human being and not just somebody who is doing absolutely nothing, somebody who is being, you know, thrown into this category with people who, yes, you know, we all know some people who will sit on welfare for the rest of their lives and say, you know what, I'm cool with this. Mm-hmm. I'm all right. I'm going to live ghetto fab for the rest of my life. Meanwhile, people like us who are taxpaying citizens who really do. We get up every day, we go to work, we try to change, we try to make a difference in other people's lives. This is what we have to deal with. And it's sad. I shake my head. I'm disgusted by it. And I always try to tell people, it's not about living off of the government and what other people can do for you. Now, recently I read an article about a teacher who worked in a school with inner city children and some of the responses that they got from these children based on different topics. One of these topics was, where do you think that the government money comes from? One child couldn't answer it. I don't know, but I know I'm going to get it. I know I need to have a baby as soon as possible so that, oh, I can do this and I can do that, and I'm going to live off the government because that money, it comes from nowhere. You know, it's just the bank account that they have. This is the ignorance that I'm talking about. You don't understand that hardworking people who struggle every day to stay off of welfare. Now, please don't get me wrong, because there are people that need it, and I don't have a problem with that if you need help, because at some point in my life,
listen. She's going in right now, Jelani. Hold on. Malik, you want to get in on this? Are you agree with what Marcy's saying about what's going on right now? About the welfare cream, pretty much. Hold on, let's keep it right here. I believe 60% of the people who are on welfare are white, number one, right? right? I believe there was a campaign back in the 80s that I think Ronald Reagan called those the welfare queens, that basically stigmatized black women as wanting a check. Malik, are you with Old Middle Time?
You asked me a question, and okay, see, this is why I told you. Don't bring me on air. You let me talk. I just wanted. I'm going to
go ahead.
Go ahead, Malik. Go ahead, Malik. Malik, you go ahead.
All right, no doubt. My fault. What Marcia said. Can you hear me?
Yep,
hello?
You're on live.
Loud and clear. Loud and clear, brother.
So So what Marcia said, I'm definitely with the whole idea of educating our people. You get what I'm saying? And the idea of making sure that, like, our people know, like, that, you know, where the money comes from. But it's not even that. It's the idea of, you know, where does that come from? Like, that idea, that lack of knowledge, you know what I mean? It comes from a disconnection with our community, a disconnection with our parents, a disconnection with the idea of what it means to be, you know, if we're talking about black people, what it means to be a black man and a black woman, what it means to have pride and integrity, what it means to be the fact that you come from kings and queens, that you don't come from slaves and welfare owners. Slavery was an interruption to black history. It's not black history. We're people who created the pyramids, fam. Come on now. But the idea is that that's not what they're teaching them in the school. That's not what you're teaching them at home. You get what I'm saying? You talk to a black kid who's just black, right? Wait, what are you? Are you Jamaican? You Haitian? No, I'm black. Where you come from? The South. Come on now. Come on, fam. That's not where you come from. But see, if we don't plant our seeds, our harvest won't grow, and our harvest is our children. And the idea is that we need to plant more seeds in these children's minds. It's like inception, so that they will then become more present. So we're not sitting here counting how many times we can be the first black nothing. The idea is that we're now that's going to be the norm. It's a new norm going now. Because the idea now is that I don't know what type of brothers he's talking about, but the brothers I roll with went to Morehouse and Howard. You feel what I'm saying? We wear bow ties.
Amen.
And we dress up in suits. You feel what I'm saying? Come on now. Like, I go to work every day looking like a professional. You get what I'm saying? Looking like somebody that they need to be looking like. Right? The idea really right now is that these need to make sure that we give back to our own people. You see what I'm saying? And stop trying to make it and run away. You feel what I'm saying? The word Sankofa is a black word for to leave and come back. You get what I'm saying? The other word, Ubuntu, means I am because we are. So those people who are on welfare, those are still my people. The idea is that they're just miseducated, right? The miseducation of the Negro. But the idea is that we have to re-educate them and stop just sitting here going out for ourselves, right? So the idea is that if more of us, each one teach 100, right? You're going out to the movie, you're hanging out with your family. We got a lot of brothers out here, you know, a lot of families out here, black families. Take a kid with you. Take one of these little, you know, knucklehead, little rough heads on the corner, hanging out in Greenville and Taft over a merchant. Take one of these little dudes out with you. You know what I mean? Show them what it really means, right? Because I know that's what I do.
And that's deep. That's deep right there. And just to add on a little bit to it, Jelani, get back on the air with me live, brother. Hit one. I see you still on, brother. But let's talk a little bit, and then we'll go back to Marcia. Because, like you said earlier, numbers don't lie. And when you see numbers like we've got more black men in prison than we have in universities in America, you know, those numbers don't lie. You know, and when you see in Ferguson that, you know, even in the Skaven, you know, I don't know if you heard about the Justice Department report, you know, on the systematic just violating the people in their towns of civil rights. You know, this is, and people have been saying, they've been saying this for generations. You know, just talk a little bit about that. Numbers don't lie. You know, some of the things that maybe we can do, you know, to try to swing the tide, man, just to graduate more and stop, you know, in jailing, you know, putting our kids in jail, man.
I think part of the idea is that if the knowledge that we're getting from, you know, easy access. No one wants to dig for the knowledge, right? No, everybody wants to, you know, you read a online blog or a post or something like that, and you don't know what the source is. You get what I'm saying? So the idea is, like, when they tell you that, you know, all these, you know, there's more brothers in jail than there are in universities, that, like, that...
Wait, hold hold that thought, Malik. Hold on, hold that thought. We're going to bring it back to Jelani Fletcher. You back another time. Jelani, you back?
Listen. Yeah, I'm right here. And you know what? Listen, you guys make very great points. And you do. And I'm not trying to knock anything you say, because I'm behind you 100%. Actually, I'm behind you 100%. But there's things that we're not talking about. And I'm not trying to make a long conversation about this. We're trying to make points. Actually, we're trying to make sharp points because we have so much time. So let's make some sharp points. The reality, yes, we can do this. We have to do this. We have to do that. When we say education, we're not talking about just, like, teaching a people. We're talking about teaching people about how to live in a situation that is literally designed against them or designed to make it harder for them. And it always has been. Listen, the system wasn't built. The system didn't fail. The system was built for certain people to never be able to get in. Okay, so you're built to be behind. Right? So just like we all know, we had to work twice as hard. But there's always the opportunity. There's always the land opportunity. No, it's not. It's built strategically the way it is for a reason. Now, I'm going to leave that to the side. When we're talking about education, we're talking about race again. This was the topic of the conversation. The topic of the conversation was race and racism and why it's here. And, like, basically, this eruption of something in a local community, such as the one we live in, okay, which is the topic that we're talking about, this eruption of racism and, like, extreme racism, we think. But really, it's not. And my thing is, a lot of you guys have never experienced this before, or you may have, but not, there's no in subtle forms, but this is not new. This is the reality. And we can talk about, okay, you got to go to college, you got to get good grades, but honestly, the curriculum is designed against intelligence. It's not, the curriculum in schools is designed against creative intelligence, okay? Malik knows because he's in a position to clean. Malik's in a cleanup position. He's a probation officer. He cleans up. He's a cleanup. I try to prevent people from getting there. So we both know what we're talking about. I'm just saying that seriously. This is the way the system is. It's designed so that, listen, you're forced to, food stamps get cut every 2 months. Any single mother with a bunch of kids, or one or two, or just doesn't mean she's a bum because she's on food stamps. Okay, by the way, not only are conducive to a strong economy because they produce more money than you spend, and anyone who actually studied the system knows that if you spend food stamps, you actually contribute to the economy more than take away from it. Second, food stamps are the least fraudulent. There's the less amount of fraud. And any government program, when it comes to army or defense spending or anything, there's less fraud in food stamps. They say, oh, these people are living on food stamps, just living on food stamps. No, actually, you know how hard it is to get food stamps, let alone to live off food stamps? They change this bad and always has been bad. No, listen, it needs to be said because it needs to be heard and understood. It's not like people are just living on food stamps. The majority of people on food stamps are white. 48% of this country is below poverty level.
I don't say that, Mark.
Wait, let me finish. 48% of this country. Okay. 48% of this country is below poverty level. 48% of this country below poverty level. The majority of people who are on food stamps or government assistance are white. So why is it that black people are painted as the ones who are living off of food stamps? That's not the case.
Why?
It's not the case. It's not the why. We know the why. I'm talking to the people who know the answer. I'm not asking you for the answer. I'm saying that that's the case. Now, let's take it to the next level then. You see what I'm saying? Like, let's take it to the next level. Let's talk about the next level. Because honestly, the people want to hear something, they want to hear answers. They don't want to hear the same thing. We're talking about shit we already know. Let's talk about things we don't know. Let's talk about solutions. We do that, and I'm glad because you guys offered so many solutions to it. Yes, we can get jobs. We can open our own businesses. But we need to talk about how to do that and teach them how to do that. That's education.
Amen.
We can say, no. When you say education, I want to qualify the statement. We don't just say, let's educate our children. No. What I mean is, let's talk about how and groom people into ways that will lead them towards financial stability. And I don't mean just making money, like get a job. No, just go to college. I live in New Haven. I've seen the most of the people that are living on the green in New Haven that are homeless, they're sleeping on the diplomas. They're sleeping. Their pillow is their diploma. That don't mean shit.
Wow.
We're talking about vocational training. We're talking about, listen, learning options that are viable. Viable means that things that you can actually act on to make money on now to make your life livable so you can make it to the next level. We're not talking about, no, listen, let's make it actionable. We're not just saying, like, there's options you can take in programs that, no. Let's be real about it. Let's get goosebumps. Let's make it work. There's things that can – we're not just talking about go to college. Go to college don't mean shit. I know more white people that are
absolutely
rich than going to college.
Exactly. Jelani such a big threat. Hey, Marcia, add on – are there some things that you agree with what Jelani was saying? He's really emotional about this tonight.
I mean, absolutely. I feel like Jelani kind of took what I said and more or less kind of felt like I was saying that, you know, black people, all black people abuse the system and they shouldn't be on food stamps. Me, I do know how hard it is to be on food stamps. I do understand that. What a lot of people don't know about me is that 2 years ago, I was busting my ass working 80 hours a week trying to get food stamps because I didn't know whether I was going to have a place to live or not and didn't have, literally could not make my ends meet. I was struggling, okay, struggling. Didn't know what the hell I was going to do, still sitting here trying to maintain my sanity, but working 80 hours a week, where people were telling me all the time, Marcy, you work more than anybody I know. Last year alone by myself, I had 4 jobs because I could not get food stamps. But what the government programs, and this is what I absolutely agree with when Jelani says, people will tell you all the time that there are programs that you can get into, things that you can do, blah, 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 blah. That means nothing to me when, one, I don't qualify for it, and two, you're not telling me how these programs are going to make it easier for people like me. Now, you sit here and you talk about how, okay, yes, we do. We need to educate people, and what kind of education do we need to do? What kills me is that you will go into any high school, any high school, seniors, we'll pick the senior class, okay? You're talking about algebra, pre-calculus, any of the above subjects, geometry. How many of these high schools are teaching these kids how to balance a goddamn checkbook? What is APR financing? Please tell me how your credit is going to be affected. I know a man right now who is 27 years old and does not have credit. Boom, does not exist at all whatsoever. I'll point out another black man who I know is 37 years old and has no goddamn credit. And only because his mother started getting into his ass does he understand why it is so important to have credit, to establish credit. Now, people will sit here and they'll tell you all the time, you know, you can turn on CNN, MSNBC, any of the above. You can sing, you can talk about it. How, okay, well, these are the problems that we have, and nobody wants to create a solution. Jelani, I absolutely agree with you in that. But these are the things that they're not teaching the kids. This is the education that they just so happen to be missing. Why is it that an 18-year-old girl gets out of high school, and because she doesn't want to have any kids, she doesn't want to struggle, this, that, and the third, it is that much harder for her to try to get any kind of assistance when it comes to her college education so she can better herself and get the hell out of the hood? Why is it so difficult? You tell her about programs and how she can, you know, get in. Okay, there's all kinds of scholarships, this, that, and the third. Can I tell you that I spent in one day, just one day, this is just one day, 6 hours online trying to find some kind of assistance to help me go back to school, and I can't find it. I can't find it. And, I mean, I'm sure, you know, people say, oh, you know, you just got to look a little harder, blah, 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 whatever. That's a different subject. But people will tell you about the program, but it's the linking to these different programs that it's missing. Where's that missing link? You know what I mean? These are the issues that we have in our community, in our black community. But how are you going to sit here and tell people, okay, well, these are our issues, but you're not providing the solutions for them? Okay, there are programs out there that will help you. What program? Sit down with the kids. Show them what the program is. Show them what paperwork they have to do. And to me, I feel like there's not enough of us that do that. Now, you know, Jelani said that, okay, Malik is also, he's in probation. I work with probation officers every day. I work with social workers every day. I work with therapists every day trying to correct behaviors and let these kids know this is not the way that you want to go. And we literally sit down.
This is not the way. Hey, Malik, add on to what Marcia, we got a couple minutes left to go on the show. Man, this is a nice conversation that we're having that we need to have. Hey, listen, I'm going to throw, Malik, are you with me right now? I know it'll take you a second.
Yes, sir.
On speakerphone, please. Yeah.
Yeah, I want you.
Caught you. Right. Listen, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of an emotional subject right now. And I just want to kind of switch it up a little bit to kind of add on. Most people say, you know, that hip-hop has corrupted
black people, black teenagers today. You know, you see a lot of these talk shows, you know, Mike Brown, you know, you hear a lot of, you know, just, you know, even with Trayvon Martin with the hoodie. You know, I remember four black kids were listening to Florida. I remember a couple months, I listened with Jordan Dunn was in the music with his buddies listening to rap music, and the guy asked him to, it's like, they're saying rap music is corrupting our babies. Actually, Geraldo, I think I was watching Geraldo, says, quote unquote, basically, hip hop has done more to destroy the black community than slavery, I believe that was comment was, or whatever. Oh, Jim Crow, or whatever it was. But what do you feel about that, man? Is, you know, before we kind of wrap up the show, do you think hip hop
touching on that subject? That dude Geraldo, man, that's a wild man. But yeah. I feel like the idea right now is from my standpoint, is that if the information that's coming to our children, whether it's hip hop, the internet, movies, or whatever it is that's coming in, that the problem right now is everything's starting to become unfiltered. You get what I'm saying? So the idea is that there's no one guiding the information. You know what I mean? So when a dude's talking about, I got 100 guns, 100 clips, right, no one's guiding that, saying that, you know, that's fantasy. He's painting a picture in which he doesn't live, but you're thinking that's life. You know what I mean? When the guy sits there and his whole thing is, you know, my girl got a girlfriend, or I got to be this big pimp, and you know, but in real life, you know what I mean, that's not what it means. You know, that's not what it means to be a man. The idea really is that there's no one there helping to curb that, because if there was, and instances where there is that guidance, right, they're able to decipher between fantasy and reality. You know, the other part is that you can't just take a certain genre of hip hop and be like, okay, we're going to condemn the whole thing. You know what I mean? Because if I listen, you know, to Common, it's not the same thing as, you know what I mean, as if I'm listening to 2 Chainz. You know, so we got to make sure, you know what I mean, that we're taking stuff. Because when I give my workshops, my empowerment workshops, some of them I take lines and lyrics from these hip-hop artists that we're supposed to be glorifying. You know what I mean? That we're supposed to be, you know, using. But I would tell you, like, I'm not a proponent into, you know, taking something and generalizing it and being like, you know, this is what is the cause. You know, my biggest thing is that for me at least, is that I from a parent standpoint, I say that we have to train our children and raise our children to be, you know, the type of, people that we want them to be.
Amen to that. And Marcia, let me come in and bring you back in and ask you the same question. You know, obviously you're a hip hop head as well. You know, I grew up on you know, BDP, you know, so I grew up all that, man.
Yeah.
Great music.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously times have changed. You know, the music is not like it was in the early 90s, late 80s. You know, it's changed. It's more gun glorified. You know, Madden Holes and Chains. Do you feel like hip hop has affected the community?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, all it takes is you to turn on, you know, the TV and, or, you know, listen to Nicki Minaj's, you know, her lyrics and all that. And while, you know, I respect her as an artist in an aspect that she wants people to know where she came from, at the same time, you know, I will say that I think that the youth doesn't think for themselves. They think that that is life. You think that, you know, twerking and all that out there is what's going to make you hot. No, honey, that makes you hot in the ass. That's all that makes you, okay? When you think about it, you know, I feel like, you know, they say sex sells, you know what I mean? And it absolutely does. But what is it teaching our youth? What is it really teaching them? Okay, so how many women do you hear on a daily basis complaining about how they're single and they can't find a good man? But then how many of these women could you go to any club or bar around here, or anywhere for that matter, I mean, in all of America, and you find these same women looking for a man? But I've said this time and time again, you cannot be a C grade at best demanding an A. You have to play that part. So if you're going out there and you're acting ratchet because that's what you heard on the radio and that's what you like, so you figure you're going to follow suit because everybody knows that Nicki Minaj got a hot ass and she's pretty, if you think that you're going to follow suit like that, honey, then you don't have those millions, okay? That's who she was, but not necessarily who she is anymore. She's laying in the lap of luxury right now, living the life. But you're sitting here.
And that's because of image. We got a couple minutes to go. We're going to go, Jelani, we're going to bring you back on right now, and then we're going to give everyone a 30-second shout-out with some love before we go. Hey, Jelani, you on with me, right?
Oh, well, I'm always here, bro.
Hey, listen, I want you – you're always. I want you to – we're going on to hip-hop and how hip-hop music has changed over the last 15, 20 years, man. And most people saying it's corrupted the youth today. What do you believe about
that?
It's
not that it's corrupted the youth. The youth actually have – see, this is one of the things people don't realize, because we were youth. And we chose the music we liked and didn't like. So we're not trusting them enough either. Honestly, they are affected by fads, like we were. But we pick and choose. And we don't BS fads. We know what's real and what's not. Because what the music industry tries to tell us and then what we live and know are different. But don't get me wrong. I am so upset with the music industry and with the pumping and these kids. They eat it up. But you know what happens is, every now and then, the things that we're talking about, that real man that comes along, you know, because we don't, it is an attack on manhood and motherhood. It's an attack on brotherhood and motherhood. It really is. It truly is an attack on fatherhood and motherhood to separate, you know. Well, anyway, the long story short is, it's tough when you listen to the music and all you hear is, smoke this, drink this, do this, do that, sell this, buy this, sell that. And all they're making money off of is you buying the album. That is a disconnect between the music of today and before. Today, we bought music before because they were inspiring us to do something better. Today, they're inspiring them to just have a good time, make money, and buy my album. You're rich. I'm rich. I got money. You don't got money because you sell drugs. You got money because I buy your album. Back in the day, they used, you know, Public Enemy, KRS-One. I'm not rich. I'm making money off of trying to give you the truth. And there was something different about that. You know what I mean? Even with Wu-Tang. It ended with Wu-Tang, I think. Music ended with Wu-Tang. But the point is simply...
Hey, listen, we're going to...
Music does have an industry. Music does have an influence. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Music has an influence. But music has an influence, like put on music and it will change your vibe. Yes, it will. But home has an influence. And honestly, home, the dynamics of home have changed. It's not always father, mom, you know, kids and daughters. It's a home. A home is everything that's needed to make everyone feel okay, everyone to produce forward, everyone to move forward, which could be a teacher rather than, you know, or a combination of people to make up one father, a mother, who something that's lacking is made up by a group of people or otherwise. And that's the point of a community. That's the point of a community. Remember what it says, to take the village to raise a child? Because whatever is lacking will be filled by someone else. And that's where we're at. That's what we're trying to figure out, how to make that a reality and not just a slogan or something to be said by someone who's trying to be in a role that's preventative. Like, let's prevent crime. Okay, let's prevent crime by what? Creating programs? No, let's prevent crime by creating jobs that are relevant, that give everybody that's money enough to, what was it called? Livable wages. Instead of going to Walmart and begging them for a livable wage, some of us need to come together and make businesses and operations that will allow people to create some. Some are
Hey, Jelani, you're going out right now. I can't hear you. Hey, that was Jay Fletch, man. We're going to come right back to you. Hey, Malik, hey, you're back on, man. Why don't you kind of wrap it up? Are you with me? You still with me, Malik? You're probably coming to the phone
right now.
Yes, sir.
Yo.
Hey, I want you to kind of, you know, you got a couple minutes, so I want you to kind of wrap up your final thoughts, anything like that, any shout-outs, anything like that, and kind of, you know, just kind of wrap us up for the night, my man. Just about what you heard about, you know, what can we do, you know, to speak. Come just to a better union, you know, respecting other people.
I feel like, you know, there was some So there's some great things said today. You know what I mean? I feel like people, you know, I feel like the people that I had a chance to, you know, dialogue with and listen to, I really did take a chance to listen to, and like the ideas, you know what I mean? The opinions vary, and there was a lot of truthful conversation of, you know, from the idea that we, that black people have to step their game up, which is totally makes sense with the idea that, you know what I mean, that the system was originally designed for us to fail. The idea that, you know, an idea, right, isn't just going to change things, that we have to have action. You dig what I'm saying? So from what I can see, you know what I mean, at least from, you know, where we started from in the conversation, the idea really is, you know, we need to have a, you know, within people, whether it's white, black, Spanish, we need to have conversation about race, about how things are and how we can improve as a society. Because, no, it's not 1950, but this post or whatever else should just, you know, be something else that allows you to at least identify the fact that racism is still around, that we still have to deal with it, right? And we should actually deal with it, not it be the elephant in the room, not us act like we're going to put a lamp on it and act like it's not there. You know what I mean? The idea is, like, we have to have courage enough, right, and restraint enough, you know, and understanding to be like, all right, I can hear your point of view. You know, here's where I'm coming with it. What can we do? Because the community isn't just the black community. It isn't just the white community. You feel what I'm saying? Because the way this man was posting, absolutely, was like, basically, he probably don't get many black dollars. So now, you know what I mean, he got, yeah, you know, this idea, well, I can say what I want about black people because they ain't really going to affect me financially. Okay, you what I'm saying is, you got that. But the idea is that now people know, you know what I mean, who you are. That's perfectly fine. But moving forward for us is that we got to rise above the influence of, you know, bigotry like that, and be like, what is it that we're going to do, rather than, you know what I mean, act as if it's not present, you know what I mean? And this notion that, you know, but to wrap things up, keep it 100 with you, I'm in speaking right now with Jacqueline Owens, president at the NAACP in Norwich. I work with an organization with my brother, Brandon Frame. We do this thing called the Black Man Can Institute. We've been in Washington, D.C. We actually flying out to Atlanta on Friday, bringing it to Windsor, Connecticut on the 28th of this month, going to Syracuse on the 14th. We'll be in the Bronx and New York, but we're trying to bring in April and May, we're trying to bring the Black Man Can Institute to Norwich. I'm trying to talk to Ms. Butler right now, have it at NSA. I'm also in talks with Frederick Douglass from Norwich to have him possibly even at Three Rivers. All right? It's a workshop from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. We show young men, you know, financial fitness, health and wellness, you know, living to live for your dreams. We teach them about brotherhood. We teach about manhood. We teach these young brothers, every young brother that attends gets a tie. It's free to the community. Everybody gets breakfast and lunch, and they get to be mentored at least for a day by 10 to 12 different brothers from all over the country that fly in and get their time for free. And we also, you know, bring in a keynote speaker. So the idea is that when this thing comes up, I'm definitely going to holler at Militant Radio, try to get on here, and let y'all know when we're bringing it to the, you know, to the 06360.
Oh, please do that. Please do. Please do. I need to be involved with that. Absolutely. Hey, Malik, I just want to say, you know, thank you. I appreciate, you know what I'm saying, you calling in and just giving, you know, your expertise. Not, let's say expertise, but just your knowledge about the situation, man. I appreciate it. We'll be looking out for you, man. God bless, man.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. Good looking out.
All right. Another time. Hey, we're going to bring Marcia back on to kind of wrap this up. Yeah, you got a minute and a half. You know, obviously, it was a great show. Great. We got a lot of jousting all back, and just we had good conversation. And this is what the show is about. You know, this is what I love about Another Time.
I appreciate you having me. And, you know, just to kind of hit a couple keynotes, you know, I really appreciate the proactive attitude that I feel like, you know, everybody who had something to say here today, you know, it's all about proactive attitude and what can we do. And furthermore, with that, Malik Jelani, if there's anything that I can do to get on the movement with you both, either of you, put our heads together. You know, I'm I'm a fresh face when it comes to that. I haven't had the opportunity to sit and talk to you guys about the movement and, you know, what you're doing, especially you, Malik. Like I said, you know, I have so much respect for what you're doing and, you know, the way that you're going about doing these things. So if there's a way that you and I can connect so that, you know, I can absolutely bring another dynamic to it, I would love to do that, because I feel like while there were different opinions here today, the common goal is the same. It is to educate, and not through just talking about it, but actually showing, you know, growth and really educating the people through hands-on experiences and all that. And I definitely look forward to, you know, the different things that you have that you're bringing to the community. So you're not just saying, okay, well, this is what I'm doing right now. No, you are really showing it. The proof is in the pudding. And, you know, I really appreciate everything that you're doing right now. And I'd love to take the opportunity here to sit here and say, like, look, you've got my information. You know how to find me. I am another voice. I'm another opinion. And I'm very passionate about making Black people better as a whole. You know what I mean? That is the common goal here. And that's pretty much where I stand with it. And I thank you for having me, requesting my opinion. As we all know, I love to talk and say what I need to say. You know what I mean? But thank you for that. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to you know, definitely being in touch with all of you and seeing, you know, what we can do for the people.
Absolutely. And thank you. And we'll definitely have you on the show again. Thank you for blessing the airways. You have a blessed night.
You too, babe.
Yeah, this is Middle Time Radio, man. That's what we do, you know. You know, this is a show that I kind of get excited about because, you know, regardless of the stupidity, you know, of some people, you know, just through sheer ignorance and just miseducation, you know. And here on Middle Time Radio, we just try to draw people different. We have different viewpoints and we kind of have a conversation, you know. You know, talk about it, you know what I'm saying? Talk about solutions and what can we do, you know, to build a more perfect union, you know? This is what we do here on Middle Time Radio. Hey, appreciate you tuning in. We're going to have another great show lined up for you in a couple of days. Hey, you guys have a blessed night. This is Middle Time Radio. We out.
And gentlemen, my original invention, the water torture cell, although there is nothing supernatural about it.
Cigar slit, Annie, I'm returning to hard shit. We knee deep in the streets, let me involve me. Fall like LeBron, fuck Trinidad, shit is sad. Some of y'all should consider going down a different path. Did the math on some of these new artists. Most can barely afford to keep their apartments. Started from the bottom with Kool-Aid and food stamps. Now I just swipe for new shoes and new pants. Pumas and Vans, the Chucks, it don't matter. Long as the bread stretch and creates another batter. Fuck the chatter, cause we out. Time's blowing in the wind, so we change each season and own shit again, motherfucker.